Raised on D&D Podcast helps to enrich your family's gaming experience by bringing you interviews with parents, educators, game designers, and influencers. Join us as we delve into the many ways that tabletop role-playing games inspire creativity, develop communication skills, and create long-lasting bonds among players. Your host has been an avid gamer since childhood, and now his kids are being raised on D&D. Here is your host, Nick Cardarelli.
Welcome back, gamers. I'm your host, Nick Cardarelli, and this is Raised on D&D. My next guest is from Eton, Western Australia. He is a proud stay-at-home dad. He's currently running Rim of the Frostmaiden. He's looking into running a GURPS Wild Cards game based on his hometown of Bunbury. You know him as the Daggy DM on D&D TikTok. Please welcome Brett Slater. Hey, Brett.
Hey, Nick. How you going?
Real good. Thanks for being on the show today. I enjoy your TikToks. It is so great. And we're going to have you say your catchphrase for everybody in just a little bit. But first, Can you take us back to your very first experience with tabletop role-playing games and Dungeons & Dragons?
Well, it all started probably in 82, 83, last century. I went to the local drive-in with my parents to watch E.T. the Extraterrestrial. And, of course, the kids at the start of the movie are playing Dungeons & Dragons. And it looked really fun. And probably about 6 months later, we went up to Perth, the capital city, and walked past this shop, and there was the old red basic set box. And I saw it, and I said to Mum and Dad, I would like very much to have a go at that. And they bought it for me, and I got a couple of mates from school, and we started playing it, and I've been playing it on and off ever since.
That's incredible. So all the way back to the red box back in 82, 83, phenomenal. Yep. How many children do you have?
We've got the three. My oldest just turned 21 last Tuesday on the 17th. My middle one is 18, nearly 19, my second son. And my third is 14.
Congratulations. Mine are little stair steps too. I've got a 16-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 14-year-old. So they're all right there together like that. Can you share with us when you started playing tabletop role-playing games with your family?
Yeah. It started off with my boys. Was more playing on the computer games and things like that. For about 10 years or so, the last 10, 12 years, I have had I've been struggling with depression and anxiety. Mm-hmm. And my youngest said to me one day, a couple of years ago, Dad, I'd really love to try Dungeons & Dragons. And I went, yeah, no worries. So the moment the shops opened back up, because we were in the middle of a lockdown, I went to my local gaming shop, Beyond Games & Hobbies, and they are amazing guys there, bought the player's handbook because last time I'd played D&D was 3.5. Mm-hmm. So it was a whole different beast back then. A couple of their school friends came over. I got my eldest son, who'd actually been playing online with some mates. I got him involved, and a couple of mates that I used to play with back in the day, back when I was in high school. We played for about a year, and my youngest finally said, Dad, I'm not really into it. So I said, well, that's fair enough. They're more into anime and manga and stuff like that. So I'm actually also looking at trying to find a good anime role-playing game so we can do that. My eldest started working back of house in a restaurant, so a lot of his nights are taken up now. Unfortunately, so we don't get to game as much as I'd like to, but I've continued on with my friends and included a few more friends that I used to play with. Just gone from there. It was amazing that my youngest wanted to play. It actually helped me with my depression and anxiety. It gave us something, it gave me a chance to reconnect with my kids, which I haven't had for the last 10, 12 years.
That's fantastic. And, you know, there's a lot in there that you brought up, and I want to unpack some of it. When we're gaming with our family, it is an excellent way to reconnect. Brett, can you share with us a little bit more about how coming back to the game table with your family helped with the depression and the anxiety? How that helped you work through that?
Yeah, it gave me a little bit more confidence. The fact that my kids, who were fantastic the whole time I was in and out of hospital and getting treatment and that, the fact that they wanted to hang out with me, even after, you know, all the stuff that was going on, was just such a boost to my self-confidence. It really, really sort of made me think, well, hang on, I'm not the person I think I am now. I think I was in the past. I'm actually someone different in other people's eyes. And the fact that my kids still saw me as that, you know, that dad, that nurturer, that somebody who cares for them and want to hang out with me, just it's really hard to describe. It just really boosts your confidence, really boosts your self-worth to think that, you know, my kids who were teenagers at the time when my youngest was 11, 12, still wanted to hang out with me, you know, and wanted to be part of my life. That's just the most amazing feeling. You know, my middle son, he's right into cars and stuff at the moment. I don't know where he come from. my eldest and my youngest are also on the spectrum too. So to be able to connect with them on a level, you know, that with something I enjoy to do, and to know that they enjoyed it as well, is a really special thing as well. Because, kids on the spectrum sort of tend to focus on what they want to focus on, and sometimes it's a little bit more difficult to connect with them. But to be able to connect with them through D&D, and they can sort of, you know, be who they really are through role playing, is just fantastic. Although, mind you, I found out my youngest is a murder hobo, so there is that.
We've all been through that phase, especially at 13, 14, 15 years old.
Yeah.
Did you find that, well, after you started to game with your children, did you find that communication was a little bit easier, even away from the game table?
Oh, definitely. It gave us something to talk about outside of the game table. They could say, oh, you know, I'm really looking forward to the game, or I really like this. And then that conversation would lead into other things in their life, what was happening in their life, what was going on. And that sort of, you know, it just gave us that sort of like a bridge to cross to actually get together and talk about other things in their life and in my life as well. So, yeah.
And I think that is one of the greatest benefits of the game, whether it's bringing friends together or family together, that open communication that it creates between parents and children. You can't put a price on it. It's just an incredible thing that is a byproduct of the great time that we're having, sitting around a table, telling stories, rolling dice, fighting monsters, right? All of that. And then, like you were sharing, you get away from the game table. And yeah, we might talk about how the session went or what's coming up in the campaign. But like you said, it moves into other areas of their life. They start feeling more comfortable, more connected, and they feel like they can talk more about it. And I think that is something that parents who already play with their children tabletop role-playing games is something that they're seeing. And I think folks who haven't started to game with their children yet and are a little apprehensive, that's something, a benefit that I hope that they take the leap, they start gaming, and they get to see that as well.
Now, exactly. And it's just good fun to just spend time with your kids who are a little bit older, because when they were younger, you know, I'd play cars with my son, or we'd go out. My eldest, he used to love collecting bugs, so we'd go out and do stuff like that. And my youngest, you know, they were into Sylvanian families and having tea parties. And so, you know, it was almost like it's an extension. Role-playing is an extension of that as well. It's an extension of what you did with your kids when they were younger. You can carry that on through your life. So
I've been gaming with mine 10, 11, 12 years now. So when we started, they were 5, 4, 2.5. They were tiny. And
Yep.
because of that, they reached a point where they were like, you know what? I don't want to game anymore. I don't want to sit at the table. And it kind of breaks your heart, but you have to in that moment just go, you know what? Okay, I understand. Let's take a little step back. And what I love about what you said is that you recognize that, you respected that, and then you said, well, you know what? What are they into? What are they most interested in? And maybe there's a tabletop role-playing game that fits that, an anime or a manga RPG. And I do recall that there was one titled Big Eyes, Small Mouth, which was anime. I think that was back in our day from the third edition time, and it was a D20 system, but those kind of things. So those are out there, they're available. And I think it's great advice that you have, Brett, for parents that if they're at that crossroads with their children gamers that are saying, hey, I want to step back, or I don't like that genre anymore, those kind of things. Then you can change it up and you can go to a different system or a different setting and re-spark that fun with them. I think that's great advice.
Yeah,
Brett.
exactly. It's all about connecting with your kids.
And Brett, I got to ask you, so how is it that you end up on D&D TikTok as the Daggy DM?
It started, my youngest wanted to get on TikTok to because all their friends are on TikTok, and I thought I'll just get on, make for the he had the privacy settings and everything to to make sure that people weren't coming in, and also make sure that friends weren't bullying them. Yeah, so I just got on, and then I think my first TikTok was about a magpie, a bird that we called Monk, because he got pecked on the top of his head, and he was a bit bald on the top of his head, like a monk that shaves their head. So my first one was about that, and then I discovered D&D TikTok, and just went, wow, this is amazing. I didn't realize there was that many people doing this, sort of thing. And yeah, it sort of just evolved from there. I just did stitches. There was somebody asked how you pronounce you auntie. You auntie, you auntie. And I sort of just went, well, I'm not sure how you pronounce it, but I know that your auntie is married to your uncle. And just silly things like that. Because I'm Australian, I've got a weird sense of humor. I started off just mainly doing stitches and duets and things like that. And it just slowly evolved from that, really.
Well, I am a big fan of your Daggy DM channel on TikTok. Then there you are, stitching into some of the videos with your famous line. I know a lot of the Daggy DM fans are listening, but for the folks at home who aren't on TikTok, can you give us that famous line?
Okay, it's time for Dungeons and Dragons, baby.
Just awesome. And it's so great because, especially in the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of negativity out there on the internet. And so I just appreciate your lighthearted humor and making the D&D community on TikTok just a fun and enjoyable place to hang out. So I just want to thank you for that, Brett.
Oh, that's no worries, mate. I just after my depression and anxiety, PTSD really got me down, I realized that life is it's not worth worrying about everything. Let them don't dwell in the past. Look to the future and just try and have a bit of fun. And if you can make somebody else smile, I think that's one of the most important things in the world, is to actually make somebody else smile or make somebody else happy. And that's what I try to do. I try to avoid all the controversy and that. I think I've done a couple of lives where I've mentioned it, but yeah, I'd rather people just have a couple of minutes of a good laugh than worry about everything like that. So yeah, have you seen any of my Shakespearean bard stuff?
Not yet. No, I haven't.
I've only just started doing it. My mother-in-law, who I got the catchphrase "baby" from, because when my kids were little, she used to go, Let's go, babies. She gave me a book called, I've got it right here, Shakespearean Insults, a little book of Shakespeare's insults. And it's all the insults from his plays. So I've gone, when your Shakespearean bard casts vicious mockery on what are the birds with the guys with wings in D&D?
Arakokas, yep.
Yeah, you know, so they're casting vicious mockery on an Arakocra and they go, "Go, you giddy goose." So instead of, you know, like playing music or whatever, yeah, they use like Shakespearean insults to cast spells and stuff like that. So,
and the little book of Shakespearean insults, definitely recommend for inspiration for vicious mockery, huh?
Oh, yeah, and all different types of spells. You know, I've done, I can't remember what it was, but I did one for disguise self, you know, or crown of madness or stuff like that, you know. Just, yeah, they're just brilliant little quotes, and you could just apply them to anything. And I've actually had a bard in one of my games that actually does this to the players. You know, I've got an NPC that does this to the players, you know. So
that is amazing. Tell us a little bit more about taking it back old school to GURPS. And a lot of people who are listening may not be familiar with, is it generic universal role-playing game system? Am I getting it right?
Yeah. Generic universal role-playing system. I actually had somebody request me do that in my voice. So I went, it's time for generic universal role-playing system, baby. just for them. It's a D6 based game. Steve Jackson developed, and it basically there's so many different worlds you can set it in. You know, using the same basic system. Your sci-fi fantasy, GURPS Wildcard, which is a superhero type game, based on some books by a bunch of authors, including George R. R. Martin. Please finish the Song of Fire and Ice. Sorry. If he hears this, come on, George, get your act together, mate. I actually, in the past, when I was younger, I ran a GURPS game with the wild cards. And, you know, talking to one of my mates who I play D&D with now, he said, oh, I remember we used to do that. And I went, oh, yeah. So I thought, well, I've still got the old third edition books there. I'll give it a bit of a bash and see how we go.
Well, I love that because GURPS, for folks who aren't familiar, it is from Steve Jackson Games. And what I loved about them was there was a source book for everything. Whatever genre you are interested in, whether it's superhero, sci-fi, fantasy, GURPS had it. And their source books were so complete, just chocked full of information that I'd use GURPS books no matter what system I was running, just for the information, just for the details. You could use it and it would enrich any game that you were playing. So when I saw that you were going to be playing a GURPS game and using the superhero system, I just thought that was fantastic. What is the plan? Because when you have superheroes, you got all kinds of different genres that you can do. You can do like the high fantasy like Avengers, or you can do something more gritty like X-Men, things like that. So what do you guys got planned for going back to GURPS?
It's going to be sort of Jessica Jones type, low level, set in the modern day, set in today, basically, which is what I did before. The GURPS books actually follow history pretty well up to the early 2000s, and then they start to divert off a bit because it's sort of like a parallel history. So, yeah, it's going to be a low-level, just gritty Jessica Jones-style game that, you know, so a lot of the people that we know are going to be NPCs in it, you know, a lot of the businesses around town, you know, just chuck in a few people that we know that, you know, aren't particularly our favourites as the BBEGs and stuff like that, you know, just try and make it fun and a little bit more relevant to what we actually do in our real lives. But, you know, we can deal with things in a fantasy type way, you know, in a superhero type way.
That's fantastic. And now this game, is it going to be in person or are you running this online?
I am old school. It's going to be sitting around the kitchen table, you know, with miniatures. And I'm actually looking at Etsy at the moment to get some miniatures for people. I've got to get them to develop their characters and that yet. But yeah, once we get all that sorted out, I'm going to start sourcing some miniatures. I've got a map of Bunbury, so I can, you know, sort out, you know, where things are going to be in that. Yeah. So.
And I hope that you put some of that content out there on D&D TikTok so that we can kind of get a glimpse in at that game table and see what you're doing there with GURPS. So excited. Brett, thank you so much for being on the show with us. Thank you for all the great content that you're putting out on TikTok. I can't wait for you to be back on the show again. We'll hear more about it.
No worries. Thanks for having me, Nick. It's been great fun.
Thank you for joining us on another episode of Raised on D&D Podcast. Be sure to subscribe and follow on all your favorite apps and social media.